Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. And the vibes are up on a Friday. He's James. I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 AM. If you're listening on the radio, hello, good morning. If you're in the chatty house or watching at youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320, hello and good morning to you as well. We appreciate you. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, hello, good morning. If you're listening on the podcast feed, if you subscribe to the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show and you were listening to this later on, good afternoon, good evening, happy Saturday, whenever you're listening to this, to you.
So excited that there's a podcast named after me specifically.
That's really cool.
James Ham.
Yeah, that's big time. That's big time. We're still giving away Kings tickets at ESPN1320.com. Giving away a four-pack. You can enter to win those at ESPN1320.com. That is to their home showdown with the Orlando Magic on February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
That's next Wednesday. Wednesday? Yeah, because the trade deadline's Thursday, which is the 6th.
Okay.
So next Wednesday, Kings Magic should be a good one at Golden 1 Center. You can win a four-pack of tickets now at ESPN1320.com. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, doing all my housekeeping up front.
Yeah.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line is 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We'd love to hear from you. I had some great calls yesterday. We'd love to hear from you again today as the Kings continue navigating the De'Aaron Fox situation. I want to put a pin in the Fox stuff for now, though.
Okay. Wait, can I take care of some business before we...
Yeah, why not?
Hey,
we're doing housekeeping.
I'm super excited. Next week, we are going to be giving away, Monday through Friday, one a day, a dozen long stem roses with delivery in the greater Sacramento area from Strelitzia Flowers in Davis. We're excited to partner with a florist, because of course Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and so we're gonna have a contest all next week where you get a password and you go and you put in the password and you enter to win a dozen long stem roses delivered. It's like $150 value, like
that's
absolutely
great.
Spectacular. So just so people know, we're gonna do that next week too. So shout out to our friends over at Strelitzia.
When I heard we were getting roses, I was like, oh, awesome! That's a great giveaway.
Oh
right
yeah,
right before Valentine's Day. That's
yeah,
great.
I mean,
and then you said with delivery, I'm like,
all right, it's over.
Run it up. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do this. So yeah,
can't wait for that giveaway. We'll be doing that next week. So it's going to be a day of grievance here.
I'm here for it.
Here's what I'm going to do, and I want to get this out of the way up top. Domantas Sabonis should have been an All-Star. Flat out. Straight up. That's it. What I'm going to try and do today is I'm going to try and provide potential reasons that he didn't make it.
Okay.
That's going to be like, because I'm still, StatMuse on Twitter does a great job. The top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think it's the top 12 in points, rebounds, and assists this year.
Mm-hmm.
11 of them are All-Stars. 6 of them are All-Star starters. And then one of them is Domantas Sabonis. Who's number 5 on the list.
Yeah. Like, look, I want to tell you that, you know, because the first thing people say is, well, who are you going to take off?
Yeah, let's we can play that game. Go ahead.
Well, but even if we start that game, my point would be, it doesn't matter. It's supposed to be the best players in the league. Domantas Sabonis is one of the best players in the league. It shouldn't be like, well, who should have been left off? I don't care who gets left off. It should be very specifically that after the top five guys are voted in, that part of that is fan voting, part of that is other voting, whatever.
Media and player.
The next seven guys that are added as reserve should be the best players in the league. And we have all kinds of criteria that we can go through and all that stuff. But none of that matters when, again, two players from a mediocre Lakers team make it. Or I get you got to have some representation from teams at the top of the league. Do you, though? Because either you're an all-star or you're not. This is not Major League Baseball.
Stop. Time out.
Okay.
This is the opposite of the argument you made last year, though. Your argument last year was that Domantas Sabonis should have been in because they were in the playoffs.
At the time?
Yes.
Well, he should have been in because they're in the playoffs and because he was leading the league in rebounding and averaging 19 and 12 and 7. I don't know, man. All I got to say is, like, look, he's one of the top, like, 12, 15 players in the league. He makes All-NBA every year.
Yes.
24 people make the All-Star team.
Yes.
There are not 23 players in the NBA that are better than Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I will push back against the idea that you say you got to take someone off, but that is part of the discussion. That is because there's a finite amount of All-Star spots.
Yep.
The starters, I'm gonna push the starters aside because that gets in literally via it's a 50% fan vote,
yeah,
25% player, 25% media. Nothing you can do about that.
No, there's nothing you can do about that.
Although LaMelo Ball got the most fan votes of any player.
Oh yeah.
Because apparently, I had no idea. This is how out of touch. When I was younger, I told myself, like, I'm never gonna be the out of touch old guy. I'm 34. I'm not, like, ancient, but I'm out of touch. I had no idea LaMelo Ball was so popular with the youths. Had zero clue. He's, like, the dude.
That's weird.
With the youths. Had no idea. So, anyways, so he got the most votes out of any player, and then I think was third in the player ranking, in the player voting, and then didn't make the All-Star team. So it's a weird process to begin with, but there's a finite amount of spots. So when you say this player got snubbed, and this is where I have I when people go the 10 biggest All-Star snubs, it's like, well, it's not 10. It's probably like 2 or 3.
It's probably like 1 this year, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, I think people put Trae Young up there. Yeah. I think people put LaMelo in there for all the voting reasons, certainly. Yep. And LaMelo, I think, is his numbers this year are outstanding.
Yeah, but he plays on a 12-win team. I mean,
yeah,
it's not
sure,
like
sure.
It's not like they're even competing. They're just.
But he's really good.
Well, yeah, but somebody's got to score on a 12-win team.
So you got to take somebody off. Anthony Edwards is making it.
Of course he is.
Here's the people that I'm comfortable taking off. Let's start with Alperen Şengün. Because that's the one that jumps out because they play the same position. Şengün is Sabonis light from a play style perspective or production perspective, I should say. Sabonis doesn't move like he has rubber bones, which is a whole other thing. That's the easy one.
Okay.
And in a vacuum, I like Alperen Şengün a lot, by the way. Just as a player. Like I said, I hate watching him because of his rubber bones, but that's an easy one. Swap Sabonis out for Şengün, you're all set.
Yeah, the problem is that the Houston Rockets are at the top of the Western Conference. They're number two team, and the number three team is what Memphis is right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's going to be the problem we're going to run into,
right? Okay, but this is where I have an issue, not an issue. This is where I get tripped up because there's no. You can sit here and go, well, I mean, Domas is on the 10th seed, tied for the 10th seed.
Yeah.
Like, if Golden State wins tonight, they're the 11th seed. Like, you kind of... But that wasn't the case last year when the Kings were in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
It was a... Right? So,
Well, I mean, last year, Paul George was the obvious, clear omission that you could have done for the All-Star game.
And there's, this is, and again, this goes beyond, I'm getting outside Sabonis. He's just the avatar for the snub here. There are players like LeBron James, like Steph Curry, that as long as they are, Kevin Durant, as long as they are in the league and at least a little bit productive, mm-hmm. they're going to get the benefit of the doubt and they're going to be All-Stars. That is just, that's how this goes. That's how it's always gone. Paul George last year does not land as that player to me. Paul George is not that tier of player.
No.
And that's where, so I heard about Victor Wembanyama last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Victor Wembanyama is the number one offensive option on his team, and he's going to be the defensive player of the year.
Well,
I have a hard time picking him out of this group of reserves and going like, that's the one. He does not enter this conversation.
The only problem that you have for Victor Wembanyama is he's not in the playoffs at all.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it, but
so
you
is that a criteria
have...
or not?
Well, that's
is
the problem.
Is team success a criteria or not?
Yeah.
I don't... It's like, it is, sometimes it isn't.
It is when people want to make it, like, part
right.
of the criteria and part of the reason why somebody got in,
right.
but, like, I gotta be honest, like, I really like the Houston Rockets team. I've told you this mm-hmm. the whole season.
Yeah.
You guys were shocked at the beginning of the year when I said they are the most talented... Like, mm-hmm. like talent-wise, I think they are the
yeah.
highest talent team in the league,
the highest
bar
ceiling team, yeah.
Yeah, like, just player by player, right? The problem is that none of their players are there yet. They just aren't. They're not All-Stars yet. And just because they're winning, I get it. Jaren Jackson Jr. is not an All-Star, man.
I would tend to agree.
He's not an All-Star.
I have, like, just a... I liked Jaren Jackson so much coming out of the draft.
Yeah,
and just the player he's become, I'm so biased against him that's why I did not include him earlier.
Yeah,
and that's why I started with Alperen Şengün, because I don't think I have a clear-eyed view of what Jaren Jackson is as a player, just because I don't like him.
Okay, so he's averaging 1.6 points or 1.8 points more per game than Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Sabonis is averaging 8 rebounds per game.
Can I also, the numbers obviously... They don't matter.
That's the weird part. They don't matter when they don't matter when they don't want them to matter, but they mm-hmm. matter when they do want them to matter.
Yeah, I don't. I think. I'm all over the place on this. Our guy, we've got Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports coming up at 11:00.
Okay,
and he made the case last night. Somebody said, "Okay, you know the rules. If you're going to call someone a snub, who are you taking off?" And he went, Domantas Sabonis is in. James Harden, enjoy your week off.
There you go.
And that's the one. That is the one because I thought it would be... I initially, when I saw that, I went, okay, well, then I'm putting Jalen Green in as the Rockets representative over James Harden, and then I'm having Sabonis take Şengün's spot. But then you go, look, and Şengün has just been a more productive player than Jalen Green this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Rockets have to have an All-Star, it has to be Şengün. But then you're talking coaches are making these picks. If you take out James Harden and you put Sabonis in, you have one backcourt guy among the reserves, and that's Anthony Edwards.
That doesn't matter. It can't matter though.
I know. I would tend to agree with you.
It's supposed to be wide open. And like, look, James Harden hadn't made an All-Star game since he was 32. He's now 35. So he's gone the last couple of years without making an All-Star team, and it's because he wasn't good enough. This year, 21.7 points, 8.4 assists, 5.8 rebounds.
Yeah, he's had a fine year.
He's had a perfectly fine year. Until you move over and see that he's shooting 39.9% from the field and 35.2% from three.
And
that's trash, Kyle.
And it's just like, this is where we get into the popularity contest of it. Because it's like, oh, the Clippers are a nice little story. And they are. Like, don't get it twisted. The Clippers, I think, are the sixth seed right now. I thought they would be out of the play-in.
Yeah.
And they might end up there. I don't know. I don't think they will. But I thought they were going to be bad, bad. And they've been a really nice story. They are way better than I thought they would be. And James Harden has kind of been orchestrating all of that. But does that make him an All-Star?
They're three games above the Kings in the standings. That's not enough to make it an All-Star. I don't get it, because where they are in the standings today and where they're going to be at the end of the season,
That's it. That's why that is why for me, team success can't really matter here.
Yep.
It just can't. There has to be some, and there's discernment, right? I mean, you said it yourself with LaMelo. Like, on a bad team, somebody has to score.
Mm-hmm.
So are his numbers inflated? Like, yeah, sure, but also he's cooking on a bad team. So maybe that's a reason to put him in. Maybe that's a reason he is one of the best players in the East this year. So there has to be some level of, okay, stats matter. There has to be a little bit, some discernment of team success matters. But to what end?
Yeah, because
to what extent?
The Kings were the 7th seed when they voted on this. Maybe the 8th seed.
Right.
So it's not like they were the 10th seed then. They're the 10th mm-hmm. seed today. They could move up. They could move down. I mean, they're a half game out of the 9th seed. They're, a game and a half out of the 8th seed. Like, they could easily move up between now and All-Star Day. But they also, if you back up when you mm-hmm. actually voted for this,
mm-hmm.
coaches voted when the Kings were like 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, an 8 seed, like if you're going to have the Lakers in as like the 6th seed, 7th seed and give them 2 All-Stars, then it doesn't make sense. And I don't have any problems with, OKC is so much better than everybody else.
Sure.
And Jalen Williams has been absolutely incredible.
Been a
and
good
he's
player.
Like really, really, really good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get having 2 representation pieces from the 2 best teams in the league that mm-hmm. are so much better than mm-hmm. ever. Well, I mean, I can't say the 2 best because Cleveland's in there as well. But actually, Cleveland has 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the top 3 teams in the NBA, which are very deserving.
Cleveland has 3, right?
Do they have 3?
Donovan Mitchell starting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Garland, Mitchell, and Mobley.
Oh.
Salute to the Cavs.
Wow.
Well okay. deserved.
And then you got the 2 from the Celtics. You got Tatum and Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with Williamson and Shea. I mean, they've just been a crazy dynamic duo. Yeah. But then it's like, hey, there has to be a point where you have to be better than the other guys around you. Like and I don't want to make it. The Rockets and Kings have played twice this year, and the Kings are 2-0, right?
Yeah, man. That's where this is where I have a problem. Is if you're, I don't know how much discernment goes into this. Do coaches? Let's assume it's the coaches. Are the coaches writing these things down? And then they go and they write down Sabonis, and then they look and they go, well, there's no Rockets on here. All right, well, we need a Rocket. So let's see. Şengün would be their all-star. Okay, we're looking. Who can we take off? Okay, well, Wembanyama, we can't take him off. That's the face of the league. Okay, he's got to be there. Jaren Jackson Jr., okay, gosh, the Grizzlies need a representative. And he's kind of been their best guy with Ja out because he can't put Ja in. Okay, that's fine. Anthony Davis gets penciled in automatically. We did the James Harden thing earlier where they go, okay, well, they're a nice story, and James is back, so okay, cool, James Harden gets in there. I don't know if there's actually that much discernment.
I guess.
Or what I don't buy mm-hmm. is the Mike Brown angle of this. I initially, yesterday, when someone brought that up, you or Damian.
I brought it up. I think that there's a possibility.
I initially thought, like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. But we saw this last year. We saw this same issue last year.
Oh, where Sabonis didn't make the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was pre-Mike Brown tumult.
No, very, very true.
So that's where I can't get there. I think there are other lamer reasons that Domas isn't in. Part of me wonders this, because I started going through and I because again, someone goes, make sense of this. And it's like, I can't. I personally, Kyle Madsen cannot.
Nope.
If they said, if Adam Silver called and said, yo, Kyle, saw you and James on the Insiders, really love the show, I want you to pick the All-Star Reserve this year, Domas would be going to San Francisco.
Yep.
I wonder if coaches look at this, because I started going through and I'm like, okay, how does this make sense? If coaches look at Victor Wembanyama, who's behind the Kings in the standings, his statistics from a points, rebounds, assists, efficiency perspective are not as good as Domas.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if coaches look at that and they go, okay, well, Victor Wembanyama is their clear-cut number one offensive option. And he's going to be the defensive player there. He's averaging freaking four blocks a night and altering countless others.
Of course.
So Victor Wembanyama's in.
Well, he's the face of the league.
Right.
Like, it's not Scotty Barnes, I'm sorry. Scotty Barnes?
Scotty Barnes?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Scotty Barnes. It is Victor Wembanyama is the future face of the league.
It's a complete crap.
He's already the face of the league. So I get Wembanyama being in, but you can't say this guy gets in because of this and this guy doesn't get in because of this. And it's just...
Right. So that's where I go to Şengün. It has to just be... So Jalen Williams, you mentioned, having a really great year. He's listed as a front court guy. I always assume he's the shooting guard.
No, he plays
I see him handle the ball a lot.
Yeah, he's more of a, like, he can play a little point three. He's got a little Scottie Pippen.
Sure. So either way, Jalen Williams is in. He's been really good for OKC. He's the number one team. And man, he's a nightmare for opposing coaches. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Alperen Şengün, that's the Rockets all-star. Rockets are the two seed. They got to have a representative there in San Francisco. Don't know why, but cool. Alperen Şengün's the all-star. Jaren Jackson, same deal.
Yep.
Anthony Davis, this is where I wonder if coaches look at this, assuming coaches fill out the ballots. I don't know that they do, because it may just be a Sacramento thing. It may just be people forget the Kings exist. But I believe, or I wonder, I don't believe this because I don't know, because I'm not an NBA coach. I kind of wonder if coaches look at this and they go, well, when we play the Kings, we're not worried about interior defense. That's not a thing that we are concerned with when we game plan against the Kings. And when we game plan against the Kings offensively, it's De'Aaron Fox, it's Malik Monk, it's DeMar DeRozan. You're not game planning to stop Domantas Sabonis. He's going to get his 20 and 18 and 8. And meanwhile, you're just going to go around and you're going to figure out how to keep De'Aaron Fox from scoring 40, or how to keep DeMar DeRozan from scoring 30, or how to keep Malik Monk from scoring 30.
Yeah, but you still do have to game plan. I mean, that's what we watched, like, when they played Philadelphia. Their game plan was every time Domantas Sabonis touched the ball to send three guys at him to, sure, you know, smack at his hands and try to get mm-hmm. the ball out of his hands. I mean, that was the game plan, and that's sure. why the Kings had a bunch of open looks. They just didn't hit enough of them to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, I don't know. Like, I don't truly believe that. I also know that, like, every advanced statistic says that Domantas Sabonis is one of the top five players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every one of them. You look at win shares, look at all of this, the advanced statistics. And so you can't say, okay, well, Jokic is advanced statistics-wise, like, way better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Now, Jokic this year is, like, off the charts. Like, what he's doing this year is nuts. Right. But last year, the year before, a lot of the reason why he's MVP, or he was a runner-up to MVP, mm-hmm. was because of the advanced statistics. Because
and he was the clear number one option on that.
He defies all of their rules, and that's why you get in. Well, Sabonis does too. You know, like the only other player to average like 21, 14, and 6 in a season mm-hmm. is Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. Just silly numbers.
Yeah. It's just
And
like,
that's where I don't know, man. I'm out of, we've talked about this so much because it's been 2.5 years of this.
Yeah.
Of, hey, Domas is putting up Wilt numbers. Anyone care?
No.
Anyone?
You in the back. Do you care?
No. All right. Like, so that's where we can read off the numbers, because, but those are where they are. They're so easy to find.
He's first in the league in rebounding and second in the league in 3-point percentage.
He might be back at the top.
After last night? It's possible. Let me look.
But I just...
He's still second.
Oh, well, then never mind. He shouldn't have been an all-star.
And where's Luke Kennard?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. It just doesn't... I guess I'm going to go back. I'm going to fall back on the thing I always fall back on here, because there's nothing we're going to do. You, me, everybody in the chatty house, everybody on Twitter, everybody at the other station in town, everybody on TV stations, everybody on podcasts, everybody shouting from the rooftops here in Sacramento that, hey, a really good player starting at the five here, an all-star player starting at the five here, an all-NBA player starting at the five here, anyone? And it's not working. So I'm going to go back to this, and I know this is probably annoying as hell, but we need to get the Kings into the playoffs. I say we. The Kings need to get themselves into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to win series there. And Domas needs to be as good as he's been in the regular season in those series. And then they need to do it again.
Yep.
Like, that's that. I know that you may hate that. You might want to put your fist through your phone or computer or radio. And I understand. But it's like, that's the only thing I can come up with at this point. Because what do you want the guy to do? You want him to, do we want him to go outside of his game? And okay, go average, because 20, let's call it 24, 14 and 7 moves the needle a lot differently than 20 or 21. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it does. So we want him to do that? We want him to just like, hey, gun for points. Just do that. Because that might help. But that's not him.
No, I get it. And I would also say, like, last year, the Kings were well above the Lakers in the standings last year at All-Star break. And the Lakers had two representatives and the Kings had zero. The year before that, the Kings had two representatives when they were the number two seed, I think, at the All-Star. And that one of them was Fox as an injury replacement.
Right.
And the other one was Sabonis.
Yeah.
And so I get it. If you're number two in the West, you're going to get that. You're number three in the West, you're going to get representation. But I just don't get the rest of it. Like, you can't just go down the list and then skip like three teams and then get all the way down to Victor Wembanyama and say, oh, he's in. Or like even last year, the year before, Dallas, Luka was just the year before last. Luka was still an all-star, even though they were horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't make the playoffs. They ended up being like the 13 seed or the 12 seed. They're bad. Still made the All-Star team.
Yeah. I don't, like I said, I wish I had a good answer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to find the logic and find the, like, okay, here's the lane that this makes sense. And every time I try and walk down one of those lanes, I run into a really good argument that dissuades me from continuing down that lane.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, well, it's record. And then it's like, okay, but Wembanyama or Steph or whoever else. It's like, okay, fine. Well, it's this. Well, the numbers are all there. Like, well, it's playoffs. Well, Alperen Şengün's not had playoff success. Like, all right, well.
He doesn't shoot the three.
I don't.
Okay. Okay. Led the league in rebounding 3 years in a row now. Yeah, to me, it's a bummer. Although I like whether Domas cares or not is a whole nother story. The one thing I'll just keep pointing to is these are like resume builders for your Hall of Fame career, and I just don't like that whether it's because of Şengün or whether it's because of the Mike Brown situation or whatever it is that you're not putting a guy who is clearly one of the top players in the league, you're not putting him on the All-Star team for whatever reason. That just because it does impact his legacy, and to me that's just like it doesn't make any sense.
I care less about legacy stuff and more trying to figure out the logic behind
what
they're doing with the All-Star game. I mean, frankly,
I care more about his legacy because he's stuck here in Sacramento where he hasn't won a playoff series yet, and maybe he doesn't in his career. It's tough.
Boy. All right. Well, speaking of legacies, De'Aaron Fox trade stuff. We'll get back into that.
Okay.
I've changed my mind on what I think is going to happen with De'Aaron Fox.
All right.
Who's also not an all-star. A little bit easier pill to swallow than the Domas thing, but we'll talk more about De'Aaron Fox, some new reporting from Jake Fisher, some new reporting from Sam Amick. We'll dive into all that. And Dan Devine, who's a big proponent of Domantas Sabonis in the All-Star game, he's going to join us from Yahoo Sports at 11 o'clock. All right, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Salute to the chatty house. I love you guys so much. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you want to jump in there.
Love the chatty house.
Speaking of that, I'm going to run this by our Kings insider, James Hamm, kingsbeat.com. Andy Gates in the chatty house says, is this news about John Collins regurgitated old stuff? Or is there a new report?
It kind of feels like this is something that has been on the table forever. And if, like, there's a possibility that it happens. Like, the Jazz... Hurt are motivated to make it happen because heaven forbid they don't want to win games. That would be absolutely painful for them. So I would not doubt that, look, the Kings are caught in the middle of like a really weird situation here. Are you trading your star player, which could yield like two or three players that may or may not fill the need that you have at small forward and power forward and all that stuff? Or are you going to try to build a team really quickly and hopefully save your star player from leaving and add pieces that will make sense? And I don't think we know the answer to that right now. And I think it's a very difficult situation to be in if you're a franchise. And again, I said this a lot yesterday. Whatever situation they're in, they've created themselves. So you can't feel bad for them, but it's still like you're weighing, like you have two giant like whiteboards, and on those whiteboards you've written out like, hey, you know, we have option A, option B, option C, option D, but like they're such crazy different paths. And that's it. Like it, what if you were to make the John Collins trade? And you send out Kevin Huerter, you send out Trey Lyles, you send out a future protected first, right? What if you do that, and then you go, you get some crazy offer for De'Aaron Fox, but you don't have the necessary salary pieces to make a trade work to get to maximize a trade.
Yeah, and that's important, maximizing the trade.
Yeah.
When I was playing around with the trade machine the other day.
Of course.
I noticed this. De'Aaron makes, it's 34.6, I think, going out.
Something like that.
And
then 37 next year.
We'll call it 35 going out this year. Like, 35 is a lot, but that could also be, like, two middle-tier-ish salaries, where if now you throw in Kevin Huerter, well, now you can go get a bigger fish.
Yeah.
Or a higher-tier salary. So I think that's an important note here.
No, totally.
Is it's about maximizing the trade, not necessarily, oh, you need this salary to get it done. It's like, no, you need this salary to get the best trade done.
Well, and I think people forget, like, Domantas Sabonis trade, right? Everyone, it's Domas for Tyrese Halliburton, right? You do know the Kings also dumped Buddy Hield and his $20 million salary in that trade. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Like, there's potential for you to need that salary. And like you go exchange again a 17 and an 8 for a 26.5, that bumps up your paying. Like you're getting closer to the luxury tax. You're still under. I think it adds like 1.5 million or 1.7 million, right? Salary. But the problem is that, like, you could have to be, again, the Kings are hard capped.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever they do, they have to have
at the first apron.
At the first apron, they're hard capped at $178 million. But again, it might be more like $176 million because of these hidden little, like, things that are out there.
I see.
So whatever it might be, like, they're roughly $7 to $10 million under the hard cap, right? But what if there is a deal where some team comes to you and says, okay, we'll give you this $30 million player and this $15 million player, which are both really good players,
mm-hmm.
Or this $27 million player and this $16 million player, and you don't have the matching salary to accept that deal, or that deal puts you into the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. So the Kings have to, they have to weigh all these things. That's why it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to give up a $4.7 million salary and a second round pick just to get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
at that point in this, before the season starts.
Yeah.
Because the luxury tax isn't calculated until the end of the year.
So you could be in the tax
all year long.
Right.
But then when you can cut back at the trade deadline,
mm-hmm.
and, or heaven forbid, you get to pass the trade deadline and you don't use that player,
mm-hmm.
you can then waive and stretch provision that player and break his $4.8 million salary into 1.6 over 3 years and save $3.2 million and go under the tax.
Right.
And then just pay out at $1.6 million next year and $1.6 the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing in NBA standards. It's not even a minimum scale deal in most situations.
Right.
So, like, that's where it's like, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing these things that are detrimental long term? And again, like, that's why I would be leery on making a big John Collins. Now, if you think, hey, there's no way we're going to get a deal done in the next 5 days,
mm-hmm.
right, whatever, like, and I think that that's probably the thought process at this point. Like, there's no way we're going to get a deal done in 6 days, 6.5 days, whatever. At that point, you probably need to add, because your team isn't good enough already.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss the playoffs if you don't pull your head out of your and go make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you somehow make a deal and strike gold, and all of a sudden, again, John Collins ends up being like the missing link on the Sacramento mm-hmm. Kings, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, maybe he wants to stay. Maybe we can work something out. Maybe you do make it to the second round of the playoffs or the third round of the playoffs, and maybe mm-hmm. it becomes a situation. It helps diffuse the situation. Either way, like, man, there are so many variables here, and this entire situation is self-created. Like,
yep.
Stuff.
Here's the other thing with the John Collins trade, and this is a little bit separate from what we're talking about, but it's a branch on the same tree. Even if you do go make that deal and it's Lyles and Herter with a pick for Collins, is that what it, that's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Lyles, Herter, and protected first.
Yep.
You still run into having seven dudes who you feel good about playing. Where if one of those dudes gets hurt, a la Malik Monk last year, you're in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they might be in that spot anyway. I'm not saying that should deter you from going and trying to make a deal to be as good as possible this year. Because that's where I now stand with the De'Aaron Fox thing. After 4 days, three plus days to digest all the reporting and see what's going on and really think about it, it just doesn't make sense for the Kings to trade him by next Thursday. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think maybe they add John Collins or Cam Johnson at the deadline, and they go try and be as competitive as possible this year, and then revisit contract talks in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
either with or without this front office. But that would make way more sense to me. A, to give yourself the best shot this year to just do anything. Because organizationally, whether De'Aaron Fox is here next year or not, if you have a trip to the playoffs and maybe a playoff series win under your belt going into next season, you feel just so much better about it, right?
Of course.
So that allows you to try and maximize your competitive window this year. And I understand maybe the De'Aaron Fox thing just derails the entire season. maybe it's such a massive distraction, everybody knowing that he's playing his last 35 games in Sacramento, and it derails the whole season, maybe. But I think you hold on to him to maximize your chances to compete this year. And then maybe you do, and maybe something happens. Maybe you do make that trade, and it works great. Like you said, maybe John Collins is the missing link, and you go to the conference finals, and Darren's like, okay, I see the vision now. Let's get this extension done. Maybe he has no intention of that. Mm-hmm. But you want to keep that window open as long as humanly possible, instead of just trying to take a deal you're cramming in the last 6 days before the deadline. So that's where I know this Kings front office is messed up now and in the past, but I don't think that there's a way that it really makes sense for them as an organization, as a team, to move him to today or tomorrow or by Thursday.
No, and like I said this yesterday, like any deal for De'Aaron Fox has to go through the desk of Vivek Ranadive. It does. It's got to go to him, handed to him, and he's got to look at it and he's got to make a decision. You know, again, we had the caller yesterday, Joe in Elk Grove, right? That mm-hmm. said that, oh, they're meeting for dinner. We have not been able to confirm that. And actually, I continue to hear that is not the case, that there will not be
a... Joe, explain yourself.
There will not be a meeting in Sacramento, in Oklahoma City between Vivek and the Foxes, at least as of right now, like a dinner.
Yeah.
I have not been able to confirm that by anyone. So that just... But it doesn't change the fact that Vivek is going to be the one that makes this decision. He's going to be the one that says yes or no to a trade. And like, not only am I saying, hey, there's an out here if you're a De'Aaron Fox fan in Sacramento, but I would also say that like outside of that being an out, like you got to be like really, really clear that an ownership move is going to be made, is going to be part of this discussion. The ownership... And then are you going to allow this front office, and the ownership is going to decide yes or no on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the front office will then have to either go back to the drawing board or like face their fate this summer.
Man, this is the clutch playbook, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's... Do you? I'll wait on that.
Yeah.
I want to get to the... So Jake Fisher in the Mark Stein, the Stein line... what is it, a Substack newsletter?
Yeah, Substack.
He said that, and maybe I misunderstood what Damian was saying the other day, but I was under the impression that the Kings received a call and they were kind of like, huh, okay. And then the front office reached out to Fox's camp and we're like, hey, FYI, we took this call. And that's what set all of this in motion.
Yeah, but exactly. The story that I've heard is that the front office got an offer from a team.
Right.
Like another team called and said, hey, I don't know if you're looking to move Fox or not, but here's what our offer would be.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, okay. And they looked at that offer and said, okay, there's a point where we have to know if Fox is going to be here or not. And mm-hmm. so they said, let's at least run it up to, you know, Rich Paul, his representation, and say, what do you guys think of this? Like, we're not saying we're going to trade you. We're asking, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is an offer we received.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you guys?
Yeah.
And that set off a series of chaoticness.
Right. Which... I don't want to relitigate that whole thing. What Jake Fisher said,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this is saying the same thing. If it is, let me know. He's reporting that the Kings approached Fox about putting him on the trade market, and then the Kings sent word to interested teams last week that they were open for business. That's pretty dramatically different.
It's very different because this all played out over the matter of a couple hours from what I could tell.
This makes it seem like the Kings internally went, hey, we should trade this dude. Can we trade this guy? Let's go let him know. And then we'll tell other teams that we're doing this.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. And that's where
I don't understand why any of this has transpired.
You always get gummed up. Like the minutia is like the truth is hiding there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the spin after the fact is always going to be what like really muddies the water. And as of right now, I feel like the waters are super, super muddied.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that means. Like everything is outlandishly muddied. And we're all mm-hmm. looking around going, I don't know what is real and what's not. But what I will tell you is it's always at the end of the day, you want to know like exactly who knew what and when they knew it.
Yeah.
That to me is always the biggest piece to mm-hmm. this, right? I want to know if Wes Wilcox and Monty McNair went to Vivek Ranadive first and told him that they were going to call Rich Paul and have this discussion mm-hmm. or if they didn't, because that's such a huge piece. Because if not, like, if not, then just fire them now, because it caused a massive, massive storm in your franchise that you may not be able to recover from.
So that's that is, I wanted to get into this later, but let's just get into it now. That's the part of this that I want to remove the Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox of this for a moment. Those guys specifically.
Okay.
Because this is not a personal thing. I don't know them. I've never met them. So if you're a team and this happens the way this has happened,
mm-hmm.
whether you're the Kings with this front office or the Grizzlies with their front office or whoever, if you have this happen, I don't know why after the trade deadline, you're not changing up your front office.
Yeah.
Like,
I would consider it before.
Sure, if you want. But,
If
you want to do it now, fine. I understand if you don't want to have some miscommunication or something go wrong at the deadline. And so you're just like, we'll just keep them through. And then, but on February 7th, to me, that's a really good time to sever yourself from that front office to maximize your window to get somebody new in here who might be able to work this thing out with Fox.
Yep.
Because unless, again, this is where this is all muddy, and I don't think this is the case, but unless Vivek is like, yeah, sure. I don't think he does. I don't think he wants De'Aaron Fox to go.
I don't think he wants him to go either.
But there's no route here, right, where the status quo just stays the same. I think there's a route to De'Aaron Fox staying.
I think it's a very narrow path.
I would agree. But I think like it's there's potential. What I don't see a path to is 2025-26 starting. So October of next year with De'Aaron Fox starting at point guard and Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox running the front office.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things, I don't feel like those two things can coexist.
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, everything has changed now. Like, I don't even think, like, I'm looking at it logically. I don't know how anybody saves their job, like, at this point. Realistically, this has played out so, so wildly in the wrong way. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I'll tell you, like, these things have happened before. Like, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, like, years ago, when they fired Michael Malone, right? Mm-hmm. And again, that was like, all the stories on that were so wild. Like, what is real, what's not, who's telling the truth, who's not. Mm-hmm. And you got to a point where it's like, okay, I know who's telling the truth and who's not.
Yeah.
And the person who's not telling the truth continues to tell me things that are not true
mm-hmm.
and knows that I know that they're not true. And they just keep saying things to me. There's nothing worse in this world than somebody lying to you when they know that you know that they're lying.
Yeah.
That just, it just turns your stomach and makes you.
And they just keep bashing through with it.
You know what? I'm going to have like a new policy with that. I'm probably just going to turn my back and walk away. I'm done with that in this mm-hmm. business. Where when somebody decides to lie to you, when they know you know, I'm just going to walk away. But I'll tell you, like, after that situation,
mm-hmm.
this is like one of those weird stories. I called around to see, like, hey, is Tyrone Corbin going to get the real job? Like, he was an interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole George Karl thing that's hanging out in the weeds, right? But, like, Ty Corbin is the head coach, right?
It's, real quick. It's so funny. Not funny. Not funny like, haha, it's silly. That this De'Aaron Fox thing, which is a mess,
yep.
is not even like top five messiest things you've dealt with.
No. 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 So,
anyways, go on.
So look, I call around and I'm like, hey, you know, is there a possibility that Tyrone Corbin's going to get the full-time job?
Yeah.
I had someone who like knew the answer and said he signed a 2-year contract to be the head coach of the Kings last week. And I said, wait, no. No, like as the interim. Like he got a bump in pay mm-hmm. as the interim.
Mm-hmm.
No, they upgraded him from interim to the standard head coach. And I said, well, how come that hasn't been press released or been like let out of the bag?
That's major news.
And it's like, I don't know why that hasn't been put out there. You probably want to ask the team about that. So I went to somebody in the team and I said, hey, I just was told that Tyrone Corbin got the full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, that's incorrect. And I said, well, the person who told me that is not going to be incorrect. So I do believe you need to check and see if that's correct or not. They said, oh, okay. Like, really? And I said, yes. You need to go and see if this is... I'm asking you before I write it because I'm giving you the opportunity to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
They called me back 15 minutes later and said, dear Lord, you're right. I was wrong. No one in the building knew it except for Pete D'Alessandro, who had gone and upgraded the head coach to a full-time head coach without telling anybody. And yes, he does have a full guaranteed contract for this year and next year as the head coach. End of story. Good work. You got it. And then I'm like, are you kidding me? The reason why you found out about this is because I called?
You're the team's source.
Wait, I'm the one who had to tell the team that you had hired the head coach?
That's insane. That's
so
insane.
So look, like these things happen where people do things that, you know, had an assistant general manager that wanted to fire a head coach. The head coach won a bunch of games and he couldn't fire the head coach. So he went to a reporter, sat in the stands in front of every other reporter and told him a big story about how they were still going to fire the head coach. And it got out there, and the story was written.
Does his name rhyme with Schmanden Schmilliams?
Yes. Yes.
I remember that. I remember I was here for that.
They're like sitting there
that
like,
I remember.
Huh. I wonder who your source is, because you're sitting with him in the stands right in front of everyone. So, like, look, these things happen, but I don't... This is crazy. Like, this is your franchise player.
Yeah.
You know, like, and whether you think he's going to sign an extension or not, you still need to treat him with that in mind.
Yeah.
That just so everyone knows out there, this is a players league and there are 20 at the most players in the league that are as good as De'Aaron Fox. There are hundreds, if not thousands of people that can do the job that the front office is doing.
Yep.
There might only be 30 of those jobs, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people lined up that would do that job yep. and know exactly what to do. There's not a bunch of De'Aaron Foxes hiding out there.
Yep.
So in a game of tug of war, I know who's going to win. It just depends on if the player says, I will not be here anymore. And that's when you have to go, okay, now I need to make sure I know who it is that should be running the show to do this.
Caller, I see you on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. We've got Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports coming up. Caller, if you want to hang out on the line, feel free. If you want to hang up and give us a call back, we will take your call first thing when you call back. If you call back, we would love to hear from you though on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. Dan Devine, I found a national media person who is pro Domantas Sabonis, and we're going to talk to him next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Second hour coming up. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.